Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about my favorite nutrition program, Champion Athletes. As an athlete, whether at the middle school, high school, collegiate, or professional level, you have special nutritional needs, and these vary depending on your sport and energy requirements. Nutrition and ideal body composition play an essential role in achieving your performance goals and maximizing your success. At Champion Athletes, certified experts in sports nutrition develop individualized plans for the student, amateur, and professional athlete. Their sports nutrition programs will optimize your diet and nutrition so that you can achieve your ideal body composition and maximize your performance. Here's what I love. Each program is tailored to meet your specific needs through a comprehensive assessment, continuous reevaluation, and one-on-one coaching. So whether you're just starting out, maybe you're an amateur athlete, or you have elite status, the Champion Athlete Sports Nutrition Programs will help you reach your maximum potential. Programs are available nationwide. And for us, if you are a listener of Coach P's Perspective, you'll receive a $50 discount for the initial program if you use the code COACHP. Their website is champions-athletes.com. So be sure to check out the website. You can also look at their Instagram page, which is at championathletes. I'll have those links in the show notes. Go check out my friends at Champion Athletes to get your nutrition right, to reach your maximum potential and performance. Hey, real quick before we get started, if today's message motivates you, inspires you, moves you into action, then please share this with somebody via social media, text, whatever works for you. You could also give us a rating or review on iTunes. And last but not least, be sure to check out my book, Game Changing Moves, Life Lessons from the Locker Room and Beyond. You can pick it up right now on Amazon or go to my publisher, crosstrainingpublishing.com. All right, y'all, let's jump into today's episode. All right, hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm pumped. Today I have a man that I look up to, a man who is exceptionally inspirational, Bob Bodine. So Bob is the president and CEO of Eastman & Bodine. They were named a Wall Street Journal top recruiting firm. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. He is a world-class speaker. I've got to hear him speak in person, run some leadership trainings, absolute world-class, best-selling author, a couple of my favorite books, and then has worked with the NFL, NBA, UFC, a list of who's who. So, Bob, thanks for being on.
Hey, it's really good to be with you, Chad.
Yes, sir. Well, let's do this for our listeners. We have a lot of sports people. I'm a wrestling coach, a lot of wrestlers and wrestling people that listen to this, but if you would, tell us about your background. Where'd you grow up? And then maybe some of the sports you did growing up.
You know, I was born in Mishawaka, Indiana, actually. My dad was a Notre Dame guy and was like, when he went to school, he all 4 years at Notre Dame. I don't think I ever lost a game back then during that time. And then, you know, we moved out. He was a McKinsey consultant. And so moved to L.A. And then my dad started the executive search industry in Chicago. Before anything. And so having grown up, I really, to a degree, most of my sports really started big probably in Chicago. And so did every sport. You know, I'm one of those, you know, back in the day, you could enjoy that.
Yes.
Where I got to do football and I got to do basketball and I love tennis, but I was a really good golfer. And so being, you know, 5'11 and we did really great. We won like as far as you could go in Chicago football. Ours and as a quarterback, but you know, I probably got, you know, some small women's college who sent me a scholarship or something but I wasn't doing it like I could for something in golf, which was real fun. I did brand management out in Los Angeles after graduating from SMU. I wanted to go. My mom had had everybody in the Midwest, and I really wanted to go into the Southwest or into the South. And when my first school was looking at was SMU. I was going to look at Duke. I was looking at Virginia. I was looking at several schools in the South. And when I just fell in love the very first day I was ever at SMU. And it's just like I tell people all the time: success is geographical. You should do something you love with people you love in a place you love where your family loves it. You get to do it for the right reasons. And there's an immediate feeling that, hey, I'm in the right place when you're there. And so most people, they love the place, they hate the people, they love the job, they don't like this, and they're always giving up something. And the answer is you don't have to give up on your dream. And so that's kind of a pre-early times when I started to feel and know where I'm supposed to be and where people are supposed to be in various times. And you can feel it, like when you land. I'd go to an executive, I first did brand management out of Los Angeles for a while, but LA was just crowded. I learned some things, really great things in brand management. I had a guy I reported to, created the name Windows for Microsoft later in life and was very successful. I still do a bunch of jobs with him. I'm on a board with him now. But I finally, got into the executive search world in 1980. So I've been doing this for 40 plus years. And the first 10 years in executive recruiting, people hire me in a business. They hire me to go out and find their 4 or 5 top people. And so I did it for corporations everywhere from retail to banking to real estate to, oil and gas. And then I was in about 10 years. And I think that's when people start to say, okay, so I should do what I love and what I'm really good at. And so I sat down one time with my dad in this business and I said, hey, I should do this. He goes, well, what does that mean? And I said, when I do a search for like the president of a manufacturing company, at the end of the search, I get a tour of the plant. But if I did the head of marketing for the NBA, I get All-Star Weekend. And and he laughed and he said, you can't give up what you got until you can go do that. But you probably already know all the people. And so I was always a nut growing up, loving sports, love wrestling, don't like wrestling, love wrestling. Yeah. And there's really a sport that I don't love, right? In a zone. But wrestling was one of those ones that to me was phenomenal team. But at the same time, I mean, it's kind of like one of those sports to me, you have to just have great mental, tenacity and ability to do things because you get to a level and then one person can do it. And that's what I started to find out in search. I was a big person in my life who loved Sherlock Holmes as I grew up. And that's why I love search. He had this uncanny ability of seeing something that other couldn't see that were hidden in plain sight, right? And so I love in search in the world that I'm in that I can find you when you're just a rising star and put you into something. And then you're the biggest coach in the world. You're the biggest athletic director. And so I started off right off the bat really quick in this. After 10 years, my opening search was the commissioner of baseball. What's the odds? And so I put in Bud Selig and got a chance to interview the 50 biggest people in sports. And then of course came through a zone where I had some relationships, which is why I started already thinking about the power of who, which is really a strategy we use in executive recruiting that we kind of did. So initially kind of grew up doing all sports, probably master of none, but competitive to a level where what I really found is that I loved seeing and figuring out who's the right who to do something, where the personal qualities transcend the technical. And that can really help some of the listeners today, because there's a lot of people, there's 69% of the country today believe that a bad day at the beach is better than a good day at work, right? And 80% of the country are not using their number one talent. That means we're spending billions of dollars training people in jobs they don't want to do. And 60% of the country is getting divorced. They're coming home complaining to each other about this. The pandemic made everything worse because everyone was home and everyone was trying to figure out where that is. And then they could figure out, hey, I don't really want to go back to that job and work, all those hours and just be seen and not actually be get paid based on contribution for the thing. And then the hours that people were driving from New York into the city and from the suburbs and people who are going all around were just wasting time. And so there's been a shift all the way around the country of stopping and saying, hey, can I do what I love? Can I do that? Is that possible? Have I missed my dream? And so I wrote two books that are, I mean, it's hard to imagine, you know, as you look back, I never thought I was going to write a book, right? But on my dad, on his deathbed, he tells me I'm going to write five books. And I laughed out loud. And so I kind of just, he said, no. And I said, he said, no, you've been saying something. And so today, when we start to talk, I'll try to give you a little bit of a flavor of each of these. And as it relates to the subject, really, of today, of doing what you're supposed to be doing, right? Mm-hmm. With people you're supposed to be doing it with. And living a life where you're joyful. And you're just, you know, you wake up. I mean, you never work a day of your life if you're doing something you love. But it's very hard if you're not doing that and you're just, you know, just serving time.
Yeah, I like the Sherlock Holmes that you use. It kind of reminds me of, you know, Andy Andrews. You know, he has the books, The Noticer, and he talks about being a noticer. And, you know, for you to be able to find your passion and what you're really great at, and you can notice things that other people don't notice. Like you said, whenever you're doing these executive searches and you're able to, you know, be Sherlock Holmes and see those things there in plain sight, but somebody else maybe doesn't have that ability. All right. Yeah. So let's go ahead and kind of transition right into The Power of Who, right? The book, The Power of Who. It is an incredible book. It's one that I've read, and I very first met you years and years ago at a leadership. My wife and I were blessed enough to be able to go through a company that we worked with to a leadership conference, and you were in there. I think we were with you like 8 hours or something. I don't know, but you were leading us in there and teaching us from your book, The Power of Who. So let's talk about that. How did you write it? Why did you write it? And then some of the key elements, like the 140 and things like that.
Oh, yeah. So what I found pretty quick involved in things was that going out and just, you know, the vehicle, the package that everyone sold today on how to get your goals and your dreams, okay, is packaged in training called networking, yeah, which is not working, which is faceless, actually. And so they don't really tell you. They think that, hey, I'm going to go out and network with a bunch of people. And that is like, when and who? And how am I going to do that? So they, you know, I get 250,000 resumes a year, dear sir, to whom it may concern, dear recruiter. And so as I started to see this, and dear recruiter, that's an oxymoron, right? And so these people, and I've never placed anybody in 40 plus years from a resume. And they say, well, why do you get resumes? I didn't solicit them. I mean, these people are sending out to a bunch of people who don't know them. You know, and so there's a strategy around that I'll talk later about. But what initially I thought is that, hey, there's got to be like a better way, because this vehicle that people are using to go out and go to a conference, go to something, and they don't have anybody that they really know, and how are they going to do it, right? And so, you know, I tell people, if there's four things that people think about when you walk in a room, okay? One is, do I know you? Mm-hmm. And if you knew one person who knew that person, who was a friend, which is, hey, if all of a sudden we just talk through a friend, you have an 87% chance of getting the job, getting the deal.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if you didn't have any of that, you're at 13. I don't know about you, but I'm already starting at the 87%. And so if you just talk about the person, you're at 94%. They like you. Do I know you? Do I like you? And of course, we know that's to be true because references, endorsements, and testimonials are your greatest allies. Your friends aren't going to put up somebody to another person they know if he wasn't good at that or she wasn't good at that particular role. And so they can trust them, and people hire people they trust. And so then, hey, do you understand my needs and are you the best? And so the problem of the world is they flip it. And so that's what I create the problem. And then I'll try to tell you about the power of who is your solution. They flip this. Know you, like you, understand needs, best. They say, I'm the best. Didn't you see me on LinkedIn? No. Okay. And so all college kids are coming out of school, never been trained how to get a job, never did it. Or you all of a sudden had a bunch of jobs. You've been working for the same friends that you always do. Now you all of a sudden got to a level of success, and now you're going to use networking again. Opposite, because you didn't use the things you did. So they come out with, hey, I'm the best. And then number two is, I understand your needs. I don't know. Does your wife let another man understand her needs if she didn't know him?
Nope.
No. And so, well, you're then third is, you're going to like me. And at some point you'll get to know me. That's when I say, get out of my office. And so the reality is, so what if this is the premise of this book, which starts to really shake everything the way we do it. What if each of us were given specific people in our lives to help us in ways we never imagined? And what if those people just aren't happenstance acquaintances, but are they strategically given to you? To help you find that place in life you always dreamed about, your goals, getting your mom into a hospital. What if all these things isn't about people you don't know, but whom you've neglected? Your friends. See, we never have thought of our friends, the people in our lives, as resources and conduits to our dream. We've always thought asking them was rude. And so if you and I are friends, Chad, and I ask you for help, would you help me?
Absolutely.
Why would you deny me the same joy of helping you? And so we don't mind doing it one way, and so not the other. So we created a simple system here, which you alluded to, called the 140 strategy, which you get so many who. If you're the greatest networker in the world, you maybe get 100 in your whole life. And of that 100, still, you know, you get one best friend, three close, eight others, then you get some allies and some advocates, and you get some people in your life who start to do some things. And these 12 are the key to helping you guide your life. And so we think sometimes that our friends don't do that, that can't actually do that. And so what I found in each search that I do, and so that's where I started implementing this in searches, because you'd give me a search for the head of the US wrestling, okay? And so then I would sit down with the committee, I'd identify all the needs of who it is that they want, people who have understood the, you know, how to take a managing governing body to get to the next level. And then we'd identify people. And I knew friends, because I've done work in maybe in US skiing, I've done other managing governing bodies, I've done other people in college coaches, I've done people who've done this. And so by the time I finish, my friends have already introduced me to this and we're already there. So the hard part sometimes for people, what I wrote in The Power Who was kind of a simple plan on getting there with your friends. So most people, when they network, is they call you up and say, hey, I'm looking to do something new. And you say, what do you, you know, and they say to you, what do you think? And you say, let me think about it, I'll call you back. And then you're not calling back, they didn't tell you anything. So I always say, hey, so let me, I'm not letting you off the phone. I got seven things. This is the seven specific things that I want in the specific city I want with the specific person. I give them seven specific names. And then I go through them one by one. And you go, yeah, I don't know that person. This person a kind of, and maybe you start talking about the third. But the time you get to number seven, you're thinking, how do I get Bob off the phone? And that's gold for me, because what you're going to do is you're going to go into your room, you're my friend. You're going to find one person similar to my seven. And if each of my friends start doing that, then all of a sudden we're one step closer to the dream, right? Mm-hmm. See, this isn't like finding your goals and your dreams. What if these people that you were given actually can open a door? Now, we know this to be true already because someone's already done that in our lives, right? I mean, it's amazing to find that there are people in the world today who their main goal is to help you get to your next deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just hard to imagine. If we sat and talked to you about how you got to Advocare and how you did the next one and how you got the next people, you started with people you knew.
Absolutely.
Right. And so most people, they've been taught that friends and business are taboo. So let me get this correct. We're supposed to work with a bunch of people we don't know and don't trust? I mean, that's ridiculous. So once they do this, the stories around the country of when they start to read The Power of Who, you're never too late, you're never too early, you're right on plan. And the stories are unbelievable. Millions and millions of dollars, jobs that people always wanted, things that they didn't think they could do, and move to cities that they've always wanted to be in, close to their mom and dad and all this stuff. It's all right there. It's you're closer than you think. And so The Power of Who was just like a, you know, it's just went like a wildfire. And then, you know, it's now in 23 universities trained around the country. And since, you know, then, and so it's in the pandemic, it's like brand new. I mean, it's like everybody for the first time are now reading it saying, hey, gee, oh, can I really do, can I be an influencer on Instagram? Can I be this? Can I be that? I don't want to go back to work. I want to do these things. And so the answer is yes. You know, and so people need a mentor. And of course, those are friends, right? So I teach about personal boards and all that.
It's amazing how this all, it seems like common sense. It makes so much sense, but people haven't, or at least I hadn't, I can't speak for everybody, but I hadn't thought about it in this way until I read your book. And then I'm like, why would I go to people that I don't know? I have so many friends with so many gifts, so many abilities. I love them. They love me. Right. Why wouldn't I go to them? Even like with this podcast, when I decided to start the podcast, I have another buddy that does podcasting. So who did I reach out to? Him. I said, hey, what platform do I use? How do I record this? How do I upload it? Walk me through it, please. And we jumped on a Zoom and we went through it for an hour and I figured that out. And I have another buddy who does marketing. So, hey, what do I do? And, you know, so everybody that I needed to make this thing go was in my circle of friends, and they happily jumped on and said, yeah, let's do this. You know, so it makes so much sense.
When people are just like so busy and they can't see anything around them, right? And they're just focused in on what they're doing and it's about them. They become the power. They think that they're the power of it. But when they're all of a sudden, when trouble comes, and of course, can't live on the planet very long without trouble hitting you from time to time. And when that occurs, it's like people will read the book and they'll go, oh my gosh, did you write this just for me? I mean, you know, I had this guy and he's a coach and he traipses his wife around. He's defensive coordinator, traipses his wife around the country from job to job to job. And so finally his wife just looks at him and says, you know, hon, you're going to have to get us to Portland because I want to be around my parents. I want our kids to be around their grandparents. This never ends. And you work all the time. You're just looking at film. And so he thinks about it. All of a sudden, the job for Portland State comes open. And so he goes, oh my gosh. So he sends all his stuff in. What? Networking. He doesn't know anybody. He just sends in aimless resumes. I tell people, PowerWho has no cold calls, no mass emails, no sending out applications for jobs. The first question is, who do we know that knows that person? So all we have to do is identify the hiring person and people on the board and people around the thing. And we go to our friends and say, hey, do you know? And so he sends it all, gets nothing. He gets in bed with his wife and he says, you know, and she goes, hey, so how's it going? And so he goes, Portland State's open. She goes, you got to get that. And he goes, he feels like crying. He doesn't know what to do. He says, hey, I haven't got anything. I don't know what to do. And she goes, I just read this book. And he goes, huh? And he said, I just read this book. Yeah, what's it called? The Power of Who. And he goes, what is that, some Tony Robbins stuff? And she goes, no. He said this lie that you already know everyone you need to know. You know, that's such an empowering lie because you thought right off on your podcast, well, I got a friend in podcast. I mean, I'm going to call my friend. He'll open it up. Why? He loves me. I'd do anything for him. He'd love me. Most people would never do what you just said. So they automatically shoot themselves in the foot. And so she says, what if I told you that my dad, okay, she says to her husband, knows someone at Portland State. Would you want me to ask? He's thinking, no, I don't want you to ask. You're my father-in-law. You know, like, what are you talking about? But he has nothing else he can do. He says, yes. The next day, the father-in-law calls and says, hey, son, would you like me to help you? He goes, who do you know? And so he says, I work out at Gold's Gym with this guy for the last 3 years. And he's thinking, scoff. seriously, that's what we're talking about, Gold's Gym? And then he says, let me look him up. And he looks him up and he's the chairman of the Board of Regents for Portland State. One telephone call from his father-in-law gets him an interview and he gets the job. He looks at me and he goes, holy cow, Bob, I'm sleeping with the Power of Who? And so he said, I never would have ever thought my wife would have. He says, I'm a football coach. What does she have to do? This has Power Who eliminates all lines. So your friend who's a dentist, who's a plumber, who's a doctor, how do you know their brother or their sister isn't the CEO of that company or isn't best friends and they were college roommates and they did something? You have no idea. God says, ask, seek, and knock. Keep doing it. And he says, and then what? Doors open. Just crazy.
Absolutely is. You know, so I'm an author. I have a book as well. My opening chapter is about relationships and coaching, right? And so for me as a coach, my number one thing with my entire staff is we build relationships with our athletes, with one another. It builds culture, right? So these are all relationships. These are people that, you know, you have relationships, you've built them. And it's funny, you know, you hear about that every human being, you know, there's only 5 or 6 points of connection between almost everybody. And that is so true. Like you said, you reach out to somebody, they know somebody who knows somebody. And then next thing you know, you guys connect up because of that, because of the relationship that you had. It makes complete sense. I hope that everybody listening, first off, gets the Power of Who book and reads it. Second, utilizes the information within it to be able to, like you said, find a job or find the thing that their heart desires and that they want to do in the place they want to do it. Just, I found
one of the big stories in the thing is I found my mate. I found my wife using the Power of Who, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, you know, I just totally tired of finding this and then decided, hey, I made a list specifically. One of the things is you can't get what you can't see. I think people have to write that down. That's why you should have a whiteboard. If you and I, and you have another buddy and one of your other wrestling coaches, and then the three of us say, okay, so we're going to talk about your lives and we're going to set up a Who group. And the three of us, and today Chad Parks is putting his stuff up on the wall. We're going to say all your dreams, all your things. And then we're going to start to put all our contacts and all the people we know how to get you that. And then through all of this, what we find is, dang it, we already had all the skills and the ability right here. It's all next to us. This was the Acres of Diamonds, you know, book, that all of a sudden you didn't have to go out to faraway lands. They were, the diamonds were already in your backyard. And I think a lot of us, because they got moss and they got some things on it and you just can't do it, it's not packaged exactly the way you thought. You got tired, you got hurt, you got passed by, you got this. Listen, you're it's not 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, it's 1. I mean, this is all ridiculous. We already know everyone we need to know to get that job. You were one person away from the next key, but you have to see things correctly, right? To take your little thing you like is, so Sherlock Holmes is out with Watson, okay? They're out on a camping trip. It's 10 o'clock at night, okay? They're camping and it's lightly raining. Sherlock looks at Watson and says, what do you see? He says, oh, I see the moon, a little bit of the moon every once in a while, clouds and the trees are anything. It's cold and I see maybe a star. And he says, then it's lightly raining. And he says to Sherlock, what do you see? And he says, someone stole our tent. That's what's happened today. Everyone's stealing everybody's tent, your joy, your peace, your goals, your dreams. They stole that while you were looking out at viruses and masks and things and stuff. They've been stealing this from you. The answer is not today, not now, not you. The answer is we can get that right back on track. There's no one under any circumstances that can't get the dream that they were looking at if you keep doing and you're determined to go get that. And that's why I wrote that book. And then that's why I switched in and all of a sudden wrote the next. And I got another one coming, which you're going to go crazy for.
All right. So, well, let's go ahead and transition over then to, okay, so Power Who, and then you went to 2 Chairs. For me, and we were just talking, you know, before we started recording about this, and it's a book I read, you know, a few years back, started to do it. And I'm back on doing this and I'm rereading the book, right? And I'm one of those people that with movies or books, it better be really good for me to read it a second time or for me to watch it a second time. And I'm reading this book again right now and I'm so fired up. Just a couple of chapters. Maybe I'm 3 or 4 chapters in, but I'm fired up right now reading it again. So 2 Chairs, let's talk about that.
So there are some times in your life when that the trouble piece of your life is just too overwhelming, that you can't do this just through your who, the people you know, okay? And so sometimes, you know, there's people who are listening. I mean, when I go out and I say to people, how many people know someone in trouble? Everybody has a hand up. How many people know somebody who's in a divorce? Their hands are all up. How many people close to them have committed, you know, suicide? Anybody have that? And 70% of all the hands go up. I mean, we have like, I don't know, 4 million people who have thought about, you know, committing suicide. Another 2.5 who have planned it. And then another 1 million just this year who did it, right? And so we have, so there are trouble. There's times in trouble when people think they're all alone. Well, you're not alone. And so, you know, I grew up in some facet where you can, in some facet where you're not, you know, let me just back it. When I wrote Power of Who, I wanted to show you that there was something hidden in plain sight. your friends who could help you get your dream. And all the people who crossed your life, your parents, your buddies, your uncles, your aunts, your pharmacist, your doctor, your dentist, these people are in your life for purpose and specific goals to help you do something, and you didn't do it. Well, what if we still, if we went now over on the spiritual side, because we have to go higher, because, you know, what do I do to the next thing? Well, in times of trouble, I decided I'd go talk to my mom, right? My dad was my go-to guy in business and this. My mom was kind of like, you know, the go-to person here. So I said, Mom, so what do I do in times of trouble? What do I do if I can't get my goals, my dreams? How would I find a mate? I mean, I'm just totally baffled. And she goes, oh, those are really good questions. And she said, I got three questions. She goes, because I don't have the answer, but I know who does. And I'm going to ask you three questions. And these three questions are going to point you in the right direction. And then she said, there's seven things that we start to talk about, seven things to do in crisis. Okay. And so that's what this book is about. Three questions, seven things to do in a time of crisis. And of course, could we have a book at any point that we need more right now? It's impossible. So, I mean, someone just bought 265,000 copies of Two Chairs to go to prisons, military, first responders, social services. I mean, I get letters all over the world with people sending me pictures of their Two Chairs in every country and telling me about this experience. So my mom said, okay, so I'm going to ask you these three questions and then it will point you. And I said, if you came into my office and you were in trouble, I would turn to you and say, hey, I got these three questions my mom asked me. And you can't get mad at me, you'd have to get mad at my mom. And so it kind of makes people feel funny and they laugh. And then it allows us to talk about something that they haven't normally said. And so the first question my mom asked was, does God know about your situation? That you're not on your dream. You're somehow having trouble with your marriage. You're somehow, your kid's gone awry. You don't know what it is. And somehow, you know, your mom and dad passed and you're now like the leader of the house and you weren't ready for that. You feel too young to actually have that. And so there's just, someone lied about you. And so does God know? And so I said to her, yes. And so she says, good response. Not only does he know, she said, but she says the highest priority in a time of crisis is to get our mind above the trouble, right? Mm-hmm. The highest thought, of course, is God. And so God doesn't have like six telephone lines for 7 billion people. He can do house calls. You know, he knows each of us. And listen, he doesn't just work on pandemics and heart attacks and natural disasters. I mean, you know, he works on us. And so this is the shocker to people. Does he know? A lot of people, they don't even know if he knows. And I say, don't worry yet. I'm going to open just a little crack here of something that's going to be so wildly positive on the two books. One, that this would happen and that this could happen. And it's going to all of a sudden open something that's going to just allow us to do some things that you can't imagine. And so she said, is this too hard for God to handle? Is the question number two. Ow. And she goes, well, it's too hard for you. And I go, well, you're right. She says, do you think he has a good plan for you? And I said, yes. And she goes, what is it? I have no idea. And so she goes, exactly, Two Chairs. And this is the premise, is this. What if you and I had one chair? We all own chairs. Come on. You have one chair for you and one for God. Don't sit in his chair, okay? And you meet him first thing in the morning. And you get 1 minute to talk. And now the wild thing is he gets 4 minutes to talk to you. I had a coach the other day, okay? A buddy of mine, he's at Rutgers. and so he calls me, he goes, you wrote a second book? And I go, yeah. And he goes, that book would have really helped me during my time, like, you know, when I was at Tennessee. He said, oh my gosh. I said, sure would have. And he says, so Bob, he said, I've been doing 22 years of quiet time with God. I just never knew I was the one who was supposed to be quiet. And there we are. Is that all we do is our normal time with God. We come in, we pray, we talk, we leave. There's no transition, there's no transaction that has happened. I didn't leave my trouble with him. I just took it and back with me and I just told him about it. So, I mean, I didn't believe it anyway. I mean, first off, hey, God's for like Sunday and I don't, you know, all during the week, you get nothing. And then, hey, I get motivated and I come back. And then most people that we've eliminated, all churches were closed during the pandemic. And so, but Two Chairs wasn't. I mean, so So this is all of a sudden wildly gone on fire around the country, all over the world. This is a global bestseller. And so here's where we come to. She goes, exactly. One chair for you, one for God. Now here's the pivotal question. I say it to people all the time. And it doesn't matter if somebody doesn't really believe what we're talking about right now, because they just have had somebody who's hurt them and made them feel maybe that they're mad at God for something. I always say to them, look, if there's a 1% chance, 1% chance that the guy who created the whole world would meet with you tomorrow morning, would you go? Everybody says yes.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what I want you to do is do that. And then send me a note, send me a text, tell me what occurred. I mean, I had a guy the other day, he didn't believe in any of the first three questions. And then he was just like blown away. I said, what I want you to do is, this is not about you doing a devotional. You can't vicariously live through someone else having a good conversation with God. I want you just, don't read the Bible. I don't want you to take that as your thought. This is a conversation. You talk out loud, you tell him the trouble, you thank him for what you got, for where you've been and where you are. And then you say, so what do you got to say about this? And then have a little pad of paper and start writing down what all of a sudden you hear. And so what happens is, this guy, get a cup of coffee, just do your coffee thing, come over here, get your coffee and enjoy that. And then don't worry about any of this other stuff. And then sit down. He turns the corner in the room, turns the corner. Everything was fine as he walked by, and he gets his coffee, comes back in, and everything in the room felt different. Everything. And then he could hear God talking to him all of a sudden. And so one of the things that I say is, I said to, when I started writing two chairs, God says, do you believe that everyone, I'm going to talk to every single person? Because if you don't, I don't want you to write them. Because I'm not going to talk to you or Billy Graham or, you know, somebody who you think's really important, and not talk to you, because you're as important as anyone. He knows everyone's situation. They're not too bleak. Between your who and two chairs, we're in business, baby. Because God's got good plans for you. What did he talk about your plans? They're good, they're prosperous, they have a future and a hope. And so the issue would be is, but we got to reopen up. Don't we, Chad? We got to reopen. And one of the things I love about you being a coach in wrestling is you get people who have people who psychologically dominate them in a match. And then how do they come back for that after they just been embarrassed in front of their family, in front of all of a sudden something, in front of their other teammates, and they you could see it. You could just see it in their eye. And the issue is, how do I get you back? Hey, the whole champions understand something, that the whole aspect of trouble they see in a totally different way. They see it as all these little dark days is an opportunity for learning and growing. Yeah, you beat me today. Congrats. Shake your hand. Good job, man. That was knuckle you. Hey, you won't do that next time. Or I'm going to be a little bit better. But I mean, everybody starts, you know, Zig Ziglar is one of my favorites. He used to say, you don't have to be great, okay, to start, but you got to start to be great. And one of the things that I tell people is this, you got to start two chairs. You got to start going back to your friends and saying hello. And hey, I was thinking about you and I appreciate you and I love you. I mean, you got to start reminding it. You have to redevelop the culture. Our whole culture has stopped saying hi. We haven't done anything. We don't need to do anything. If you have one friend in your team, we're 40% more productive. You have one friend of yours at your company, 40% more productive. If you have three friends on your team, actual true friends, okay, you have a 96% chance of having a satisfying life, not a job, not anything. The difference that I love about college sports, so I placed 80 coaches. So I first had to place Scott Drew back as Baylor's basketball coach following a murder on their team. I recruit him from Valpo to go to Waco, Texas, during the days of a cult person who was in Waco, Koresh. And it was a terrible thing. No one would ever want that job. I told him the very first time we talked, I said, this is going to be epic. It's going to be one of the greatest hires in history of sports. And we sat and talked about national championship. I said, you're going to be on every cover of every major newspaper and magazine. I said, it'll be one of the biggest things, because you're going to take something that has had so much trouble, and you see it differently. You see trouble as an opportunity in disguise. And so we started talking about it. on the day one when he came in, of course, he had to, all his team, most of the team left. He had to hire, he'd go out on recruiting people out in you know, in the intramural fields if they looked tall. And then he was doing international because they didn't know as much. And in this year, in 2021, he wins the national championship. So far this year, he's now won 20 in a row after his three biggest guys went into the NBA. Mm-hmm. He's created a culture of joy, of serving. One of the things that I love about you as a coach, Chad, is you don't play in the like game. You play in the love game.
Yes.
You cannot be successful at what you like. People cannot play there anymore. You must love it. And if there's 180 words in the Greek language for love, we have one. So I love my wife for 38 years, Cheryl, and I love tacos. Okay, so that's confusing to people. But I can love someone. I can say to a person who, I can say to, you know, your wife, hey, oh, I love you. And you know that's not the same love that I'm talking about my wife in this, because we're friends and there's a difference. And when you start to do it, but it's a lot better than like.
Yeah.
You know, the little liking this. I never went on Facebook when somebody puts up a great post, I never put the little thumbs up like. I mean, that would be simple. I always heart it. I'm right of that. I love that. And if you say something really good, I'm writing about that. I'm saying, oh my gosh, that was a thought. If I do it three or four times, the person who's writer always sends something back to me, which is like a key thing for people to remember, is that if you should be shadowing the people, if you're in a particular industry or a particular sport or particular something, these people are online. Start studying them. Start loving what they're saying. Start talking to them and saying it. Start studying about it. Create your website all around, your social media, all around what you love, rather than sitting there talking aimlessly about a bunch of stuff that you don't need to be talking about, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, you know, if you want something today that you've never had, you're going to have to do some things you've never done. And worse, if you don't have a plan for your life, someone has one for you. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a threat. And so if we could create our little WHO group, you and me and your other coach, we put our dreams up on a wall. We dream out loud. We start to pull in two chairs. I bring God in and start talking about it. He then, you know, what happens with me is I sit and tell God all the trouble. He goes, okay, so listen, I got you. I got you. And if I hadn't talked about two things, he reminds me of those two things, right? Why didn't you tell me about these two things? And then he then says, okay, so Bob, I got some things for you. Which is now leading to my next book, okay, which I'm writing, called 5 Minutes or Less. So everything that's, and no one will get this more than a recipe. Everything that's ever happened to you great has happened in 5 minutes or less, right? Mm-hmm. And everything bad, 5 minutes or less. So what does that mean? Well, then that doesn't think about time the way we think. So time is our enemy, but timing's our best friend. We're just waiting for our moment. And so if we juiced our moment, we do go in and spend 5 minutes with God in the morning. If I can get all the people to do it. I gave a talk at Liberty the other day, 14,000 in the round. I had everybody, I said, what if all of us, all 14,000 of us would all like take first thing tomorrow and spend 5 minutes with God. You get 1 minute, he gets four. How many people would do that? 14,000 stood up and started to cheer. I thought, holy cow. I mean, here's the whole point. I mean, can you imagine people who have ability to not only love the people who are on their team, but think there's a supernatural power that I can kick into that can all of a sudden do something for me based on my heart and based on all of a sudden something that I haven't even yet understood that I'm capable of doing? Because I see things in people you haven't even sought to think about yourself yet. And I can speak that into you. See, that's what friends do. Friends help you now. Acquaintances wish you well. I mean, friends know the song in your heart. They sing it back to you when you've forgotten the words. Friends are secret keepers. They sculpt all the way the bad. They never are bothered by what you've done or where you've been. They just see who you can be. That's what friends do. And so can you imagine what God does? So that's the whole aspect is that we're doing the done. We're living our life in kind of a Japanese aspect of Kaizen. It's backwards. We're living our life backwards. You already, that's why God already is never like bothered by it. He already sees where you're ending. He's the author. He's the finisher. So it's really great things. So this book, oh my gosh. I mean, the stories are just inconceivable. Can you imagine the way people write, and you'll know it better because you've read both of my books and now you're doing it second, is that I write like I talk.
Yeah.
And I just, you got to have stories to tell you. So I have to give you 25, 30, 40, 50 stories, right, that are constantly blowing you out of the box. I'm going to start with a story in this new book on the two, when I first did the TV show, two of the three guys who stopped the Paris train attack were in my room with me. Mm. And so in 5 minutes or less, they stopped the Paris train, right? Problem. And then how I had a chance to change their lives. Okay, 3 months later. And so what if we can boost our 5 minutes with God, 5 minutes with our wife, 5 minutes with our kids. Then we go out in our team and people cross our path that God brings and we do eight in our day. You know, if you did eight every day, bursting them with just insight and encouragement and wisdom and reminding them who they are and whose they are and the path they're called. You'd be legendary. No one would, they would have awards. They would do monuments of you. Okay. But that's only 40 minutes in your day.
Yeah.
And that's our problem is, oh, I don't have time for that. I can't write this. I'm not that really good about this. You know, we're all lacking one friend. And who did the biggest thing is I got to remind people, God calls you his friend.
Yeah.
And so between God and the one buddy that you have, the one girl who's listening, who's got a great friend. We got to get back in touch with them. We got to remember, reach out and reconnect with all these people. Because these people change your life going forward. And so, you know, you're not late. Who cared about yesterday? We're only talking about now. That's what we're all sharing on this podcast. We're sharing now. And so everything's going forward. Our best days are ahead. Great things are ahead. Your best team results are going to be ahead. Your best podcasts are ahead. Everything about life is where we can touch people and all of a sudden we can do it. So we just, everybody's got to catch fire.
Man, I'm fired up, man. That is first off, you're such a phenomenal speaker and storyteller. It's amazing. And I love it. I mean, like you said, you write how you speak. One of the things I've always felt like is you can't fake passion. People know if they're passionate about something or not. And you exude passion for these things, which gets me passionate, which gets me fired up. I'm feeling fired up right now. So I'm going to have to do a workout after this podcast.
energy, like you said, energy is everything, right?
Yeah.
And so you can't see it. So again, when I give most talks, I talk about making the invisible visible. Mm-hmm. Energy, love, and time. Three things you can't see, but boy, you and I know when energy walks in the room.
Yeah.
And love, I mean, it's the most dominant force and thing. You can't see it, but it dominates everything. And time, oh my gosh. I mean, is that when we can all of a sudden understand the way God looks at time, then we're right on time. We are right on time. And so these things just rock and make us all of a sudden, you know, I know that you can spend 5 minutes. You and I can change a person's life today in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. We can. And there's no one who's not listening, can't do it. And there's some people in their lives that they haven't reached out to and they haven't talked to in a while. And the thought of a person's name is coming up. And you ought to write them a note because we play this game. We write a note. You just play the game with me and just say, hey, I was just thinking about you. And then say, hey, three things. Hey, I was just thinking about you. I wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your friendship. I love you. And then these people all come back sarcastic and saying, hey, you know, what's happened? You know, who's got your phone, your wives, 94% of people come back and they have this other. But my point is that no, I meant this for you. You know, no, I meant this for I love, you know, and we're going to force people to say, I love you back. And then if they come back and say, oh, ditto, you say, where's the love? And so, you know, it's just kind of a fun thing again. And again, it ties people together.
Yeah. I remember in our leadership meeting, you made us do that. And it probably changed the way I use my phone. So yeah. After that, I began to reach out to people and, to do that on a very consistent basis. And I still do to this day, you know, so.
It's such a good thing, Chad, because people will then come back and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. I was in trouble, right? They didn't tell anybody. And how did we know? How can we understand? Well, I mean, I don't know. We start out with, there's nobody in my business. So I've changed the way I do business. And I want to encourage people is that there's nobody in my business that I work with who isn't going to hug me and tell me he loves me. And so I do that. It doesn't matter if it's the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, all this other stuff. We do not get right in and start talking about business. First thing is, how's your family? Hey, I miss you. I love you. Hey, what's happened? Are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help you? We do a thing called Who Friday. And on Fridays, we just at 12 o'clock, we stop business and we call all our friends and our clients and all the people and say, hey, are you okay? Is everything going good? I miss you. I love you. And then, you know, it just, we find that we can change their lives because they're going to open up and tell you, hey, oh, well, this, you know, my daughter's in trouble. I mean, you should have her call me. I mean, and let me take some time with her. You know, hey, so-and-so, I don't know what to do on this, on that aspect of COVID. I don't know how to do this and that. And I say, hey, I got a friend of mine who can help you here. And then all of a sudden we're doing it. And so my greatest opportunity in business, and of course, Who Friday is our largest day of business. Is that a shocker? Mm-hmm. but the crazy part of our business, the most honoring thing I can do in life is to help someone with a trouble. I want to be there in the time that your worst trouble, yeah. The thing when everything goes down, when you have no friends and you think everything's lost, then I want to remind you, hey, there's a path. There's a path right back. And of course, that's two chairs. I mean, God will, you know, one of the great things is, you know, is that he's just, we're all trying to get to the two chairs so we can find out. And once you sit at two chairs, can you imagine? It's like you're Moses sitting at it, like a burning bush. You look, you're sitting talking to the guy who created the whole world. Wouldn't it be logical that when you left this room, there's like a different countenance that's on your face? Of course. And so if you did it every day, I mean, we're not talking about, this isn't really, you know, I grew up in such a way as a Catholic and early in my life that as I would go through that, you know, as long as church was over in 20 minutes, you know, then I could watch the Chicago Bears, yeah. You know, it'd be okay. And of course, you know, I'm not like reading the word, you know, that's what we pay Father Mulcahy for. And so, you know, it's like, you know, the whole concept is, but knowing him, knowing God, that God knows you, come on. This is just, it changes up everything. It changes up the whole aspect of life, you know. People say to me all the time, they go, oh, you know, Mr. Bodine, young kids, I don't go to church. And I say, hey, do you own chairs? And they go, I do. And I go, so I said, so listen, you know, and they go, do you go to church? Oh, yeah, I love my church. And then I go, and he goes, well, where should I go to church? And I go, I don't know. That's a question you should ask God at two chairs. He'll tell you. I mean, it's not, you know, that's why I was joking with you, is people say to me all the time, what's God going to say to me at two chairs? I didn't ride three chairs. You got to go.
Yeah.
It's too cool. Listen, it's too simple. This is too obvious. I couldn't have written it if it wasn't so simple and obvious. Friends, God, come on. Let's get back to the basics. And the guy who created the world digs you, not mad at you. Matt and Addy made you, made no mistakes, got a plan. What is it? It's good, prosperous future. Your friends love you. Let's get back and spend time with them because that's what we're supposed to do. We were supposed to always do life with our friends.
Yeah. Simple, amazing. And a lot of times the simplest things are the most powerful things. So absolutely. Well, as we get ready to close this out, and first off, I appreciate all your time, time, effort, and energy right here, but just kind of a quick hitter question. You can answer one or all three. Okay. I want you to tell me about a hero, a hardship, or a highlight in your life. Hero, hardship, or highlight, or a little of each.
So, you know, a hero, my dad was my hero. I mean, And one of the things that was great, a lot of people didn't have that always in life. I mean, 70% of men have never had their dad say, I love you. So I get them to do that in conferences, wherever I go. But my dad was one of those greats who was always there, hidden in the back, always giving you a thumbs up, always pressing me to see what greatness looked like, always trying to help me be a better person, try to, you know, talk and do some things. And so that's the fact of just having, you know, he used to always tell me, you're either there or you're not. And so he made me, you know, he made me all of a sudden understand what an impact I could have for my three daughters, right? And now my four grandkids. So a hero you know, if more dads would just stand and be there, right? Be where they're supposed to be and be there joyfully. And so, I mean, I always thought I'd have three boys. And then I just, my three girls are the joy of my life. And all of them were fun athletes and did all their stuff. They did everything. We won all the championships and did all the fun stuff with them, right? Now they're moms and this and all of a sudden the other stuff. Hardship. I think, listen, in life you have hardships. I see, so I've had, you cannot go through life without something, right? That something so whacks you off the ground. And sometimes it's in business, sometimes it's in personal, you know, aspects of your life. And so, you know, I think I had a 3-year period where all of a sudden we just had some struggles, specifically, you know, in some facets of our family. And God, and I could just hear my mom still talking. My dad passed in 2000, my mom in 2005. But in such a struggle, it was an opportunity totally for me to see the whole aspect of redemption, the whole aspect of how we could turn something totally around, that God wasn't confined by my little box. You know, I tell a story sometimes about fleas, and that fleas, we put them in a little jar and we hit little holes in the top, and then they bounce, 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 trying to get out of this thing. And then all of a sudden they sit at the bottom and then they take the top off and they never try to get out again because they have a ceiling in their life. And so trouble normally is a ceiling for people. I'm telling you, that's ridiculous. I'm waving my hands, standing on a chair, telling you there is no ceilings here. The answer is you can get right back to where you're going. So one of the things is trouble is a learning opportunity and growth for me in this thing. So hero, hardship, what's the last one?
Highlight. Any highlight? Yep.
That's, you know, my family's a highlight. So as outgoing in this and all the things that I could do in sports, if I could do it with my family, then I'm really interested, right? And so, you know, one of my highlights is my oldest daughter's an Instagram influencer. And so she's had lots of hardship. And then she just decided how to figure out a new way of doing business. And she's ridiculously successful. She's just found her path, right? And she has 20 major clients and she does everything. And everyone should follow her, the Downtown Alley, A-L-Y, the Downtown Alley. She's just unbelievable. My middle daughter, ridiculous, a high school teacher and a photographer. She's just a great photographer. She sees things like Sherlock Holmes that no one else can see. And she can get a picture that it can make a family and their kids. It'll, you know, when you and I have a picture of our kids and we like of our family, that lasts us a whole lifetime. One picture. If I can get a great picture of you for your business, that can change your business. Okay. And people miss this sometimes. And so again, it's kind of an art. My youngest is really successful. And so, she's going to join me sometime in this year in joining me in executive search. So she's now like 31. So she's a superstar and she's like, chip off the block. And so she's got great interpersonal skills, great ability of caring for people and doing that. And of course, I married one of the greatest of all time. So anything that's good that came out of my life started with Cheryl. Those are my highlights. And now, can you imagine? I got Maverick, Major, Emma, and Bo as grandkids. And I love spending time with them. Yeah. I mean, it's just the greatest. So, in life, you have lots of hardships at various times. I have Arnold Palmer and Scott Drews of the world. I could tell you, we could just do sports stories. Of some of my things. I could do all my Arnold Palmer stories that are so wildly over the top. Maybe I should have, but the answer is we'll do that again sometime on another podcast. And so, but I will, but the highlights, okay, the 5-minute highlights in your life, these 5 minutes, they keep coming. I mean, my best for my girls is ahead. I'm always encouraging. I just believe whatever it is that you're thinking about yourself today, listening to this, you're thinking way too small. You got to get to 2 chairs. God always looks at me and goes, seriously, that's the list? That's all you want? Come on. We got to think bigger than that. We got to go. There's only so much time. Time is like, hey, let's go. Let's extend the boundaries. Let's win national championships for wrestling. Let's get all, you know, hey, can our team have all Americans? Of course, we are all Americans. We got to call that before. And so most of this stuff, we have to just see it and call it by faith. And faith calls things that are not as though they were. And then if I can plant it in you, and then I can spend time reminding you who you are and whose you are in the path you're called, you're going to step up to where that is. And we just got to help people do that.
Absolutely. Incredible. As a dad of four, you know, when I hear you talk about your kids, I know that. I feel that passion. I would say any of the highlights of my life, especially these days, right? When my family is involved, it's that much better and that much more important. So, all right. Well, Bob, thank you so much for being on. Where can we find you on social media? And I'll make sure that I have your website and your books and everything in the show notes. But where's the best place to find you or to connect with you in some form or fashion?
Yeah. So they can go to bobbodine.com, Bob, BEAUDINE.com. And then I do inspiration and encouragement pretty much every day or every other day on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and on Instagram. Mm. And so I spend those time really on those three, and I put that up. Started doing that about 12, 15 years ago. And so if you really follow me, you can kind of look through my life and you can see what my two chairs conversations are like. Because I'll sit with God and all of a sudden I say, hey, so what do you want to post about today? And he'll immediately give me a picture in my head. I'll go find this picture. And then all of a sudden he goes, yeah, and I want you to say this. And then all of a sudden he goes, hey, so, right. Or I'll say, what do you think of this? And he goes, oh yeah, that's exactly what we want to say. Right now. And so it's kind of cool. And again, it has nothing that I'm trying to do. That's trying to, you know, most of all my social media is never promoting my firm, what I've sports on searches I'm doing or that kind of stuff. I'm normally, I try to stay hidden behind the scenes because family's like everything, right? And most of mine, although it probably helped me a lot getting more searches, but I'm already blessed. So it's already good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, thank you for your time. I'll make sure that I take your social media, your media website, all that, put in the show notes. It's a blessing to have you on. I can't wait for your next book and to dig into that. And until then, I'm continuing to read Two Chairs and really implement that in my life. So everybody, this has been Bob Bodine. If you're not fired up right now, check your pulse, go back, take some notes, and make sure you read his books. Thank you again, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. May God bless you, smile upon you, give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, I want you to go check out my friends at the Matterborn Wrestling Company. If you wear wrestling shoes for any reason, for me, I lift in these, I train in these, I coach wrestling, I wrestle, all right? So if you're an MMA fighter, a wrestler, weightlifter, and you wear any sort of a wrestling shoe, boxer, these are the ultimate shoes. I've wrestled since I was 4 years old, been around the sport my entire life, and for the last few years, the only thing I've worn are Matterborn wrestling shoes. The comfort is ridiculous. They have a one-year guarantee. The fit, phenomenal, and then I can't wear them out. I wear these suckers almost every single day. I can't wear them out. So that is Matterborn Wrestling, MATABOURNE Wrestling Company. Go look at any of their social medias. You'll be able to get to their link tree through that. I will also have a link in the show notes. Matterborn Wrestling Company. If you're looking for wrestling shoes, they are the best.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.